All right, I invite you to take the Word of God with me and turn to Exodus and chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, if you notice, I brought the tabernacle back out, and we're going to be considering a few more pieces of furniture that we haven't mentioned thus far. If you remember, it was back in Exodus chapter 25 that we began to talk about the tabernacle, and in Exodus chapter 25 and 26, we talked about all the furniture pieces, the tabernacle itself, and how the tabernacle was raised. We went even to the brazen altar. It was later in chapter 28 and chapter 29 that the focus turns to the priest, the garments of the priest, chapter 28. And then in chapter 29, we noted the consecration of the priest, the three offerings that were offered, and then the 7 day of dedication with a lamb in the morning, a lamb in the evening being offered as burnt offerings. And now we come back to chapter 30 and we return to the tabernacle. Remember the pieces that we've seen so far. So let's go back. Am I on? Okay, I'm on there. So we began, if you remember, with the Holy of Holies. Now, we didn't begin with the structure. We began with the furniture inside before any structure is talked about. And so we began with the ark and the mercy seat. And so now the mercy sits on top of the ark, but there are two separate pieces. The ark is referred to as the Ark of the Testimony. And then the mercy seat sit on top. And then we moved over here. I should have taken that one out. We haven't covered that. We moved and talked about the table of showbread, and then we went to the lampstand over here, and then we moved outside after we talked about the tabernacle and then the boards. Then we moved to the veils, and then we talked about the brazen altar. And so there are three levels of separation, right? The Holy of Holies is separated from the holy place, and the holy place is separated from the outer court, and the outer court is separated from the camp. And so three veils, the veil on the outside, the veil between the outer court and the holy place, and then the veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Now we come to chapter 30, and we are going to read about the altar of incense. And I'm going to place it where the Bible says that is going to stand. It's going to be right here before the veil, standing on the other side where the Ark of the Testimony is and the mercy seat. Now, the question is, why deal with all of those other pieces first and not mention the table of incense? And then we'll see later, not mention the laver. Well, because these two have to do with the ministry of the priest. In other words, the priest is mentioned, and now we're going to talk about the laver and and the table of incense, or the altar of incense. And so that has to do with how while the first pieces of furniture have to do with how God reveals himself to man in the person of Christ, and it goes from the brazen altar all the way to the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, the laver and the altar of incense have to do with how the priest approaches God. And so they specifically concern the ministry of the priest. And so we looked at all of these pieces, and there's two more to consider that are part of the tabernacle that we will see. And so let's read in our text here in Exodus chapter 30, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll read down to verse 10. Notice what the Word of God says, "And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. 4 squares shall it be, and 2 cubits shall be the height thereof, the horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. And the 2 golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the 2 corners thereof, Upon the two sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. Now remember, the rings and the staves, that's specifically designed for those things to be carried, the piece of furniture. Just like the brazen altar, you see the staves coming across, just making it easy to move. Remember, the tabernacle is not a permanent structure, as the temple would be later. This would be easily moved, right? So from the boards, linen, everything would be easily moved. And so that's what the staves are about. Verse 5, and thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil, that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat, that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning, and when he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burn sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. Now notice, so although this altar of incense is called an altar, you don't have the same thing going on this altar than the brazen altar. It's very distinct. Two altars, but it is very distinct what happens. In other words, God points it out to Moses, this is an altar, but what takes place on the brazen altar does not take place on the altar of incense. And he makes a point to show that. And so he says in verse 10, and Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. Now, that last verse, let me mention this. Because if you remember, the blood from the sacrifice of the brazen altar, remember, the blood was collected. And we know that the priest, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would sprinkle the blood on his vesture before he entered into the Holy of Holies. But one of the other things that he did is he would dip his finger in the blood, and then on the horns, there'll be four because there's four corners, just like there were four horns on the four corners of the brazen altar. There are, I believe, now it mentions a horn, but I believe it equates to the four corners. And so he would probably put blood on the tip of each of the horn from the brazen altar. Now, with those things in mind, when we come to this, I'd like to bring your attention back to verse 1, which is, we read what this is. It says, notice, an altar to burn incense. And so I'd like to preach this morning a message that I've entitled, The Altar of Incense. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening for your word, for the opportunity to study it. Lord, help us to make the important connection between the brazen altar and the altar of incense. To think about the two applications as we see ourselves as priests unto God, but also as we consider Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. Help us to understand what takes place at the altar of incense and what it means for us, and what it means with regards to Christ's ministry on our behalf. So give us understanding. Help us to rejoice in our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as I mentioned, you look at this whole thing. There are two distinct altars that are mentioned in connection to the tabernacle. And we read the second one, but we studied the first one early on in chapter 26. And so the brazen altar and the golden altar. Now, I'll refer to the golden altar because it's later. If you turn with me later to Exodus chapter 38, just a few pages over to your left. In Exodus chapter 38 and verse 30, notice, and therewith he made the sockets to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and the brazen altar. So here we have the reference to the brazen altar. Notice chapter 39 and verse 38. and the golden altar and the anointing oil. So here, the golden altar is referring back to chapter 30, verse 1, the altar of incense. And we're going to see that this particular altar is going to be overlaid with gold. So later it's referred to as the golden altar. So we have the brazen altar outside the tabernacle, and then we have the golden altar inside the tabernacle in the holy place. Now, when you remember, when we think about the brazen altar and the colors here, obviously brass, and this would be wood but overlaid with gold, so you would only see the gold. And so as we think about those brazen altars, we're going to see that they're distinct, but yet they are connected. You see, the brazen altar outside that stood before the door of the tabernacle stood outside the tabernacle. The golden altar stood inside the tabernacle before the veil that separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies. The brazen altar was the place of sacrifice, where the animals were offered as a sacrifice to God. That brazen altar is referred to as the altar of burnt offering. Now remember, we talked about that a few weeks back, and we talked about the offerings that were offered there. We talked about the distinctions between a burnt offering and a sin offering and a wave offering. And so the burnt offering is the highest of all offerings in the Old Testament. And so what goes on there is referred to as a burnt offering, what takes place on the brazen altar. The golden altar inside the tabernacle is not the place of sacrifice. It is rather the place of worship. It is referred to as the altar of incense. And we're going to talk about this specific altar here in just a moment. And we're going to see how both of those altars are indeed connected. Now, I'm going to mention two things, and then we'll expound on that, because some of the things I'm not going to touch on here. We've already established that all of the pieces of furniture inside the tabernacle point us to Jesus Christ. The material that was used, the wood, speaking of the humanity of Jesus Christ, the overlaid being overlaid with gold represents the deity of Jesus Christ. And so we talked about those things, the wood that is used being overlaid with gold and what that represents. But I'd like to focus specifically on the two aspects of this. Because when we think about the ministry of the priests that would go from the brazen altar to the laver and then to the golden altar or to the altar of incense, we're going to see that those two are connected, but there are two aspects to what the priest does here. There is an aspect of how are we today, remember, we have been made priests, kings and priests, unto God. So, what is our ministry to look like with regards to the tabernacle? Again, we don't have this system, we don't abide by this system, but there is something we can learn about what we are to do today as priests, specifically with regards to our intercession, our worship, and our praise. But there is a second aspect that we're going to find is that the priest, specifically the high priest himself, is a picture of Jesus Christ. And we not only see what we do in our service for God, but we also see the ministry of Jesus Christ himself and how he makes intercession for us. And that specifically is connected to the golden altar inside the tabernacle. Let's consider, first of all, the purpose that is declared for us concerning this golden altar or this altar of where the incense is to be burned. If you notice here in verse 1, it says, "And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon." Now, if you pause here, if we would go back early on to chapter 25 and chapter 26, when we look at all the other pieces of furniture, the material is mentioned first. If you go back to chapter 25, verse 10, "And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half. So he talks then about the dimensions. If you go over then to verse 23, and thou shalt make a table of shittim wood, two cubits. So here, make a table, and here's the dimensions of it, and so on. Verse 31, so that's the table of shewbread. Verse 31, the golden lampstand, and thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. And then we read other things. But if you notice, what is declared first is you're going to make this, and here's the material you're going to use, and here's going to be the dimensions. But when we look here at the altar of incense, the purpose is declared right off the bat. And thou shalt make an altar, but then it tells us what's going to happen on this altar. This altar is going to be for the purpose of burning incense upon it. So the other pieces are mentioned of, now here's the pieces, and here's how you built them. But for this particular piece of furniture, he says, now you're going to build this, and here's what's going to happen. Here's what you're going to do with this specific altar. Now, it reveals right off the bat the ministry of the priest, and so the purpose is found in what took place at the altar of incense, and the purpose is twofold. First of all, we find that it is a ministry of prayer, or the biblical word is intercession. And the second aspect of that ministry is a ministry of praise or worship. So that would be the twofold purpose of what would happen, again, connecting the altar with what goes on is going to happen on this altar, and that is you're going to burn incense. Now, if you hold your place here, turn with me to Psalm 141. Psalm 141. We're going to look here, again, the incense burning, what aspect is connected to that? Turn with me to Psalm 141 and verse 1 and 2. Notice the Bible says, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Notice, verse 2, let my prayer be set forth before thee as what? Incense. So notice, prayer is as incense. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now I want you to remember, this golden altar inside the tabernacle is referred to as an altar. But no sacrifice takes place on this altar in the sense of an animal sacrifice. But there are other types of sacrifices that are offered there. You say, what types of sacrifices? We're going to see. Sacrifices of praise to God. The idea of worship. So two things happen with regards to the incense, and that is prayer, intercession, but also praise and worship take place at the altar of incense. Now, we'll return there a little later on, but turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Let's look at another scripture, Revelation chapter 5. Now, I mentioned already this morning, Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5 takes place in heaven. We have angels, the 24 elders, the beast, we have the lamb, the lion from the tribe of Judah, so on. Notice what happens in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. He says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. Now, that word odors, which is the prayers of the saints. Notice the vial, the golden vial full of odors. That actually the word odors here would be synonymous with incense. And he says that the golden vial full of odors is the prayer of the saints. So we are getting this understanding here that incense is connected with prayer and intercession. Turn with me to one more portion in the book of Hebrews in chapter 13. Hebrews and chapter 13. Now, you read through the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, specifically in chapter 10, deal with Jesus Christ was offered once for all, right? He was the sacrifice for our sins. There is no need for any more sacrifices. Now, that's the declaration. Read chapter 9, chapter 10. Now you get to chapter 13. Notice Revelation or Hebrews 13, verse 14. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, referring to Jesus Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now notice he refers here to as a sacrifice, but you have to understand in connection to Christ being our high priest and the tabernacle, all that he talks about in the book of Hebrews, he's not talking about sacrifices being offered on this altar. Only one sacrifice was offered on this altar. That's Jesus Christ. In other words, when we offer our sacrifices, we do not offer our sacrifices on the brazen altar. Only Jesus Christ offered himself. The sacrifices that we offer takes place right here. And so again, this is important because when you read, for example, Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is a dying sacrifice. This is a living sacrifice. Jesus Christ is the only one who offered himself as a dying sacrifice. By the way, he didn't stay dead. He was buried. He rose again. He, who is our high priest, enters and he comes to and makes intercession for us. But what does it mean for us? Where do we offer our sacrifices? We offer our sacrifices right here. Sacrifices of praise. You see that? So, when we think about the golden altar and the incense, the ministry at the golden altar is twofold. It is a ministry of prayer, intercession, and praise or worship. That's the sacrifice of praise. So, with that in mind, go back to the book of Exodus in chapter 30. So, when we think about ourselves, again, we'll make the connection in just a moment, so hold on. Between the brazen altar and the golden altar. But here is what happens with regards to the priest. The priest is going to offer the sacrifice on the brazen altar. Remember, it's the blood of that sacrifice that he's going to take up. We'll see later with the laver, he's going to, before he enters into the holy place, he's going to wash his hands and wash himself and then go into the holy place. But the priest cannot come to the golden altar and burn incense unless he's first been at the brazen altar. This is what it teaches us. We cannot do any service for God at the golden altar unless we have first been at the brazen altar. No one is worthy to enter into the holy place without having offered the sacrifice. And we're going to make more of this connection in just a little bit, but the brazen altar comes before the golden altar. Now, with this in mind, there is a second understanding we need to have about the priests. There is a sense in which we are priests unto God, and in our service for God, our service today as priests is twofold. We have a ministry of intercession. By the way, the priest would intercede on behalf of the people. But what also took place at the altar was praise and worship and thanksgiving. And that is also what we ought to do. We have a ministry of intercession and we have a ministry of praise. By the way, you want to please the Lord? Come to church as a congregation, lift up your voice and sing praise to God. That is a sweet smelling savor coming up to God. God loves it when you proclaim His name. Now, there's a second aspect in that the priest, a high priest specifically, is a picture of Jesus Christ. And so here we have a picture of the ministry of Jesus Christ. If you... You don't have to turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, the Bible says, wherefore he, Christ, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us. We'll see in just a moment. The priest would again have to take the blood from the altar. He would go in and he would put the blood from the brazen altar on the horn of the golden altar. And then he would burn incense. And we'll see later that that incense was to burn always, in the morning and the evening, just like the pattern of the lampstand. The light was always on. The oil had to be refilled morning and evening. Same way for the altar of incense. The altar was burned continually, and that represents the ministry of Jesus Christ, who ever lives continually to make intercession for us. And His intercession does not cease. So what took hundreds, thousands of priests to get things going continually, Jesus does that by Himself. And He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now, if you remember, turn with me, because we have an idea of why is this so important? Why is this picture so important for us to consider? Turn with me to the book of Numbers in chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Now you know something's going on, right? Something is brewing behind the scenes. And here they come before Moses and Aaron. Here's what happens in verse 3. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, "Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all of his company, saying, "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are His, and who is holy, and will cause them to come near unto Him, even him whom He hath chosen, will He cause to come near unto Him." Now understand, again, they're talking to Moses and Aaron, and they says, "Wait a minute, who set you over us to come near to God?" Well, how do they come near to God? Remember, they would offer the sacrifices here, and then they would take the blood of the sacrifice that would allow them to come in before the Lord. Remember, all of the priests did not go into the Holy of Holies. Before the Lord meant at the golden altar. Remember, the golden altar we read in Exodus chapter 30 stands before the ark and the mercy seat, which is where God speaks to His people. And so, here's what they're saying. We're all holy. You get to come before God, the golden altar. What makes you better than us? Notice they say all of the congregation is holy, and whereas then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. So here's the accusation. Moses and Aaron, you have lifted up yourselves above the congregation. Is that true? Absolutely not. Who chose them? God did. Aaron and his sons, the tribe of Levi. That's who God chose. And so again, they are representative of the people. But again, this was God's choice. It was not like Moses and Aaron chose that among them. So they themselves, they want to enter into the presence of God. They want God to speak directly to them. They don't want to go through Moses and Aaron. But remember what the priest represents. The priest himself represents Jesus Christ. So do you see here, by the way, Jesus Christ is God's way into His presence? There is no other way. There's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. The priest represents Jesus Christ. And so Korah and all the men and all the princes, the people of significance, They want to circumvent God's way. They want to get to the golden altar without following God's plan. By the way, there's a lot of that today in the world. People think today they have access to God because they're good. They're trying to circumvent God's way. And you cannot do that. Now, it's interesting what happens. Here is what Moses told Aaron to show the people. Go down, obviously we could read the whole chapter, but go down with me to verse 44. Of Numbers 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. Now, don't you notice all the details? Here's what Moses tells Aaron. Here's what you're going to do. The people have rebelled, and God said, I'm going to wipe them out. And you know what they do? They fall on their faces. And then Moses tells Aaron, I said, here's what you're going to do. Take your censer. That means it would be, it kind of be a bowl, chains coming down. And he says, I want you to go off the altar, the brazen altar. And I want you to get the fire. That means probably the coals from off the altar. And I want you, notice what the text says in verse 46, put fire therein from off the altar in the censer and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. Notice here, he's not saying make an atonement here. If the altar is burning, there's already been a sacrifice. So he collects the coals from off the altar. And when he says, go into the congregation, what is the tabernacle of the congregation? This is it right here. When he says, go into the congregation, he's talking about in here. And so he's going to go into the tabernacle and he's going to take the live coals and then he's going to take the incense, put the coals and the incense on the golden altar. And notice what he is going to do when he gets there and make an atonement for them. In other words, intercede for them. Wait. did we get this straight? These people rebelled and said, "You set yourself up above us. We can go there too." God says, I'm going to judge them because they're circumventing my way. And Moses and Aaron says, you know what? Let's intercede for them. How? By taking the coals off the altar, going to the golden altar and burning incense. And so making atonement, interceding for the people. Notice at the end of verse 46, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. Verse 47, and Aaron took, as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. The plague was stayed. So God sends a plague because of the people's rebellion. They try to circumvent. They try to insert themselves. They thought they were holy. Remember, God didn't choose the Levites because they were holy. Remember, he says, I'm going to give you garments, and then I'm going to sanctify you and consecrate you, and I'm going to make you holy because you're not holy yourself. That's what the garment is all about. Remember, they had to sprinkle the blood on their garments of the lamb and all the... So the Levites knew they weren't holy, but yet somehow, Korah and all the princes and all the important people thought they were holy. You're missing the boat. But the whole point here is that the very thing that they try to circumvent is the very thing that Moses and Aaron did on their behalf. In other words, that's exactly what Aaron, when they try to remove him from doing what he did exactly what he was supposed to do on their behalf. That was what? Intercession. Now, I believe he did this first. And then when he ran out of the midst of the congregation, he stood between the dead and the living. And so he has the incense, which is the intercession for them. And so they would see before them that they had been interceded for. And you know what happened? The plague was stayed. The plague was stayed. So we see here the purpose is declared. Again, let's think a twofold ministry. And so again, represent Jesus Christ here. But the twofold ministry that we have is a ministry of prayer, intercession, and praise, worship to God. But it pictures Jesus Christ in the sense that as he takes the coals off the brazen altar, goes into the holy place, burn incense, he's making intercession for us. And it is by him that we offer praise unto God. Now, let's go back to Exodus chapter 30. And by the way, keep your spot here in Leviticus, if you would. But go back to Exodus chapter 30. Here is the... So the purpose is declared right off the bat. Then he talks about the materials, the wood, the gold, the dimensions. Verse 3, it's going to be, again, overlaid with gold, and there's going to be horns, so he describes. So we went consistently into those descriptions. We come to verse 5, and thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. So we have that for easy movement. And thou shalt put it before the veil, that is, by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. He says in verse 9, ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burn sacrifices, nor meat offerings, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once in a year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generation. It is most holy unto the Lord. Here is the pattern. Go back with me to Leviticus chapter 16 if you have held your place there. And notice with me, Leviticus chapter 16. By the way, we were in Numbers. I said hold your place. Yeah, Leviticus. All right. I know I'm confusing you tonight. We are in Leviticus. Leviticus 16, notice verse 12. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord. And, now by the way, where is the fire? What altar is where the burnt offerings are offered? The brazen altar. That's where the coals come from. Notice. He shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. Verse 13. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. So again, this would be once a year on the Day of Atonement, but notice he would take the coals of fire from off the brazen altar, and then he would put the incense on the coals, on the golden altar, and so now you have the incense smoke filling the tabernacle, so much so that it fills even into the Holy of Holies before he enters there, and so on. So we see that same pattern in Numbers chapter 16, but here's what we find. The fire that was used to burn on the altar of incense was taken off the brazen altar. That's what we know. There is a deliberate connection between the brazen altar and the altar of incense. The activity, basically, which took place at the altar of incense inside the tabernacle was based upon the activity which took place at the brazen altar. And so when we think about Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us, that is true. But his intercession for us is only made possible at the golden altar because of what He did at the brazen altar. We do not have the ministry of intercession without His sacrifice. It cannot be. Interesting. Turn with me in your New Testament to the Gospel of John. John chapter 17. Now, if you think about John 17, people refer to John 17 as Jesus' high priestly prayer. How many of you have heard that? Okay. Right. And so it's a prayer of intercession. And in here, He prays for His disciples, those later who are going to believe that are not alive yet or are not saved yet. And so, by the way, that's us. And so He prayed for us. But I want you to notice what His intercession is based off of. Notice John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Notice verse 4. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. Now I understand when Jesus prays this prayer, He hadn't died yet, He wasn't buried, He hadn't risen from the dead. But He says, it's as good as done. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. Well, we connect that directly to His last statement on the cross. It is finished. And so, when we read that, and we read, we're not going to do it for sake of time, but read the whole chapter, it's Jesus' prayer for us, for His disciples, in the world. But interesting, what is the request of Jesus based on? His intercession for us, what is it based on? It is based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. There is no intercession ministry unless there is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And by the way, this is so important and so deliberate that any deviation from this pattern was met with the severest of judgments. Let me give you an example. Turn with me back to the book of Leviticus in chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. So let's talk about Aaron's sons. By the way, they know what they're supposed to do, right? They know the whole system. They know what Aaron does on the Day of Atonement with regards to the brazen altar and the coals of fire and the burning incense inside. So they know all that. By the way, there is no way for the incense to burn unless you have the fire from off the altar. Now, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer. Now, we know what the censer is. That's for incense, isn't it? And put fire therein. Whoa, wait. Where did the fire come from? It doesn't say it came from the altar. And put incense thereon and offer, notice, strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. Remember, the fire can only come from the brazen altar. And anything else is strange fire. Verse 2, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So you see, any deviation from this pattern was met with the severest judgment. Why was this? By the way, they knew this. But they circumvented what God had prescribed. And what God had prescribed was this. You have no ministry at the golden altar unless that ministry comes from the brazen altar. And so if you try to produce your own ministry at the golden altar from your own fire, then you are circumventing Christ Himself. So the incense in their censer was not burned with fire taken from off the brazen altar, but was produced by their own kindling. Strange fire, God killed them. We also see that incense was to be reserved exclusively for tabernacle service. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles, we're going to read it here about King Uzziah. 2 Chronicles in chapter 26. Let's go down, let's pick it up in verse 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16. And when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, and they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. So out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence, yea, himself hastened also out to go, because the Lord had smitten him. Well, yeah, no kidding. Got to get out of here quickly. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. You see, King Uzziah attempted again to circumvent the priestly office. He offered his own incense. He ushered himself into the holy place. The priest following him is like, What are you doing, Uzziah? You don't realize what you're doing. And as soon as he lit the incense, leprosy struck him. Why? He circumvented God's way. What's God's way? God's way is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And we cannot circumvent that. By the way, I think that just because of how severe this is, it's a good reminder for us that anytime we pray and we approach God, we recognize that we do so based upon who Jesus Christ is and His sacrifice. Now, I know we always pray in Jesus' name, but that's not just a cliche. That is literally the only reason why we can pray. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus told His disciples, when ye pray, in My name. And so every time we pray, we say, Our Father. We pray to God, but we always end by saying, in the name of Jesus, by Jesus, through Jesus, we ask these things. Uzziah got to the place where he didn't need an intercessor. All he needed was himself. And God's judged him for that. So two things. And by the way, fire, the live coals, fire consumes. There's a sense in our lives when we think about being revived. The idea of reviving is rekindling, something burning once again. Let me remind you where the life that we have for service comes from. It comes from the Lord. It comes from the place of His sacrifice. And so there's a sense, yes, all right, we have today a ministry of intercession. We have a sacrifices of praise to offer to God. We get that. But the very life of that comes from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And as it pictures Jesus Christ, we know that it is only based upon the sacrifice of Christ that we can come into and stand before the mercy seat and the ark before the Lord. So, go back with me to Exodus chapter 30, and we'll end Exodus chapter 30. Verse 8, "And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord." It is most holy unto the Lord. He says, don't deviate from this. The reason why I've set forth this pattern is because it pictures the ministry that you have, and it also pictures the ministry of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And so, although those two altars are distinct, two different things happen there. They are connected. They are connected. And the reason why we started, remember, with the Ark of the Covenant, correct? Then we worked our way to the table of shewbread and to the lampstand. We talked about the veil. We talked about the boards. Talked about the veil that separates. Then we went to the brazen altar, and we didn't have the golden altar. But you know why we didn't have the golden altar? Because there was no way to get there yet. There's no way for the priest to come in yet. And so what God did is He consecrated the priest. He separated, He made them holy. He made them holy, remember, with blood. Jesus Christ, in the same way, He was consecrated on our behalf. But the ministry were also given a ministry, and they were also consecrated. And so, God did not mention the golden altar, because there is no golden altar until you have the brazen altar. And everything that takes place on the golden altar is made alive by the coals that come from the brazen altar. You see, everything that we do for God, all the life that we have today of Christian service for God, comes from the life that happened at the brazen altar. The life we have today comes from the life that was given for us on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. And we have to constantly be reminded of that as we serve God. And let's never circumvent in our minds where our service comes from. And I want us to think that the moment that we think that we can circumvent in our minds, say, I'm worthy to come in, God is very displeased with that. There has to be a constant reference back, a constant reminder that any sacrifice we offer to God today is because of Jesus Christ. It's not, He did that for us, and so now we're on our own, we're doing this. No, everything we do is, yes, for Christ, but it's by Christ. So, may that sing into our minds as we think about our service for the Lord.